Yeah,
listen,
it's a shame.
Why are you, Robert Anton Wilson? What is it about the Church of the Subgenius that you find so interesting or attractive, or whatever the heck it is you find about the Church of the Subgenius?
Well, they have the good taste to pick a messiah with the same name as me, Bob. I've always been fond of the name Bob.
Oh,
as a matter of fact, I'm named Bob myself.
Well, it's the same frontwards and backwards, dear friends.
I understand that Lyndon LaRouche has written a new report claiming that you, in fact, are Bob Dobbs, and he has mounds of evidence to prove it.
Oh, yeah, Lyndon LaRouche also claims I'm the head of the Bavarian Illuminati. He leads a rich fantasy life.
Insert noise.
I send him my car to pick you up. And Marilyn Monroe said, oh, you have a car? And Chico said, no, I used to have a car and a chauffeur, but I couldn't afford both, so I get rid of the car. And she said, well, what good is a chauffeur without a car? He said, I need him to drive me to work. She said, well, how can you go to work without a car? He said, it's all right, I've been made redundant.
Tim Leary.
Well, it's a great pleasure for me to be here. And this It's
later, you can talk. Right now, let him talk. Okay?
It's a great pleasure to be here on this occasion. Well, we're going to have a good time, no matter what comes, right? As far as space and time and the future is concerned, I think most of you know that I believe that the space you occupy determines the time that you live in. If you go back to the Middle East, you're going back 4,000 years, you're going back to your midbrain, and the reality that you'll have to deal with there is determined by the fact that you are there. If you're having a discussion in Belfast, Ireland today, the fact we were there would mean that the key issue would be shaking down Catholics and Protestants. So that to move into new space is the only way that new realities can be created, and the fastest way that future nervous systems can be activated. Now, Brian, when you talk about space, you said it's dangerous and it's perilous and it's who's going to control it and it's going to last too long. You make it sound like LSD was described 10 years ago.
Well,
William, do you want to say something?
Well, I feel that the human race may well be in a state of neotony. And that means simply that you take a tadpole that remains a tadpole and doesn't develop into a frog is in a state of neotony, or a salamander that never drops its gills and gets out of the water. And that we are stuck in this dimension of time. And we can't really conceive of anything beyond that, but that space is something beyond that, which is inconceivable or difficult to conceive for people living in time. And the point is that time is a resource, and time is running out. That's why we have to go into space, just as the fish had to leave the water when the pond started to dry up.
Well, space is a very tenuous word. Does it mean outer space, or does it mean inner space? Or does it just mean space, like the fifth element? I tend to think that, you know, going places all over the place, thinking that you're going to go to one space or another and change everything might work, but on the other hand, I think you have to change your mind to start with, and you don't have to go anywhere to do that. I think one of the things that's interesting about William's work is that he sees everything, as far as I can see, as an illusion, and wants us to understand what the illusions are about, who's making them, why we should have these illusions in the first place, and who stands to benefit by us having them. So that when you think about space, for me, when I think about space, I think about the space in those relationships. I don't think about outer space. I'm in outer space. This is outer space. It is the illusion of outer space anyway. So if anybody wants to, let me say that.
Well, we're two-thirds of the way from galactic center. And of course, from the viewpoint of any other star system, we definitely are in outer space. All the people looking out at the stars tonight from other worlds, when they see ours out there, they say, gee, I wonder that little speck out there, I wonder if there are intelligent beings on
blue,
it.
Blue. We look pretty blue to all of them.
I imagine we do.
Mm.
But
what did you say, Brian?
We look blue to everybody in outer space.
I said we're in outer space from the point of view of anywhere else in the universe.
I'd like to say something. We've just had an opportunity to catch William Burroughs red-handed doing what he's been doing for the last few decades, moving way ahead of us and kind of quietly sitting in the future and in a very low-key, sotto voce, the way he mentions neoteny. Well, he's there, and I'm just suddenly discovering in the last few weeks that neoteny, or pedomorphosis, is the, now wait a minute,
is the hottest issue in evolution. It is the number one tactic that the DNA code has always used. The egg wisdom has always used this tactic. If you want to evolve a species, what you do is you keep it from becoming adult. And Bill and I have read many of the same books, and we could give you probably hours of illustrations of how the dinosaurs, for example, developed an adult species which was over-specialized and controlled territory.
Over-specialized scum, Leary!
Where is he? Keep going. What I think is that time has to do with form. Time has to do with form. You are so old, therefore you have that form. I am so old, therefore I have this form. Something that is made quickly looks as though it's made quickly. Something that's slow looks handmade. Space has to do with ideas.
Right.
This is inside, that is outside. Everything in here is my idea. Everything outside of it is your idea. I don't like your idea. Why don't you listen to my idea? That's what I think space is about. So if we get involved with the idea, it's about territory, essentially. It's another territory.
My favorite religion is actually Shinran Buddhism. I was married in a Shinran Buddhist church 35 years ago, and the great thing about Shinran is it's an offshoot of Amida Buddhism. Amida was the Buddha who refused to enter Nirvana until all sentient beings could enter Nirvana with him. And so he reincarnates for perpetually to bring everybody to supreme enlightenment. And part of the teaching of Amida Buddhism is if you call on Amida Buddha once with true faith, that'll be enough. Even if you screw up this life entirely, in your next life you'll do better, and the life after that you'll do better, until eventually you do achieve total detachment and nirvana. All you gotta do is say in Japanese, Namu Amida Butsu, in the name of Amida Buddha. If you say it with true faith, you will eventually be saved. And in the 12th century, a monk named Shinran meditated on this until his heart broke. He thought it was just not fair to those people who can't muster a true faith. There are some people who are always asking questions, never satisfied, always asking the next question, always a little bit skeptical. I'm one of them. And we just can't manage true faith. We just can't, we're always wondering. Maybe there's an alternative. Maybe there's another way of looking at it. And Amida, the Buddha of boundless compassion, could he possibly leave us out if he intends to bring all beings to perfect bliss and enlightenment? And Shinran decided that was impossible. So Shinran Buddhism is based on the teaching that if you say Namu Amida Butsu once, whether you have faith or not, it's enough. You'll be saved eventually. I think that is the most merciful, the most commonsensical, the most generous, and the most noble religion ever invented. At least it seems that way to those of us who are incapable of true faith in the traditional sense. And so I have said Namu Amida Butsu with some degree of faith and with a great deal of skepticism on numerous occasions. I've never managed total faith, but I like to say it because Shinran says whether I believe it or not, it will work. And so I'd like to leave everybody with those words, Namu Amida Butsu. Say them once, and whether you believe it or not, it will work, and all your problems will be solved. It may take 1,000 incarnations, but eventually you'll get there. And hey, we got lots of time.
Started.
I have escaped Nietzsche's criticism of mystics, which is that the mystics have never been analytical enough about their own experiences. I am analytical about it. I don't accept that it's infinite. It just seems infinite. Like the time on ketamine when I discovered that I was God. And for 45 minutes, I went through this long dialogue with myself. Am I really God? Or am I a human being who's taken a drug that has so warped his brain that he thinks he's God? And, well, I found good arguments on both sides. And that 45 minutes seemed to take infinity rather than 45 minutes. So I had a long, I spent more time in that 45 minutes. I had infinity in a grain of sand, eternity in an hour, as Blake said. I had eternity to contemplate the question, am I God or am I a human being imagining he's God?
Ask is that you don't say things as dumb as that guy in the Vatican who recently went to Africa where the chief problems are starvation and AIDS, and he told them not to use condoms.
Thank you.
is to point out that we've all got AIDS. Most people don't realize it, but our immune systems all run down as we get older. And as the immune system breaks down, we become more and more vulnerable to more and more diseases. AIDS is just an acceleration of that process.
Number five. Thank you. just another.